Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Ifis 2018 preliminary results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giovanni Bossi, CEO of Banca Ifis. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and welcome to our conference call. The board of directors approved today, under chairmanship of Mr. Fürstenberg, the preliminary result for 2018. I'm here in the conference call with Martino Dario, Investor Relations, and Maria Cristina Taormina, CFO of Banca Ifis. Well, I made reference to the presentation that you have the opportunity to see on the website, and with reference to page 3, in 2018 we continue to grow in all business segments, achieving a net income of 147 million despite 62 million of provisions on a few large positions. Stripping out such provisions, adjusted net income would be materially higher, could say around 190 million euro. In the fourth quarter of 2018, net income reached 58 million euro versus 23 million euro in the third quarter of 2018, so a strong increase. In the fourth quarter, total revenues reached 173 million versus 125 million in the third quarter. The strong increase is due to, firstly, plus 23 million Q-on-Q on net interest income on NPL segment. Secondly, 17 million more of income from NPL disposals and liability management. And finally, 12 million plus Q-on-Q in an increase in revenues from corporate banking. Operating costs were stable Q-on-Q, and the cost of risk is in at 31 million level. Customer loans increased by about 400 million euro Q-on-Q, and reflected our strategy to focus on short-term SMEs lending and NPLs. In fourth quarter, we recorded a strong credit demand with about 13% Q-on-Q in factoring turnover growth and plus 20% in new leasing. The repricing, the increase in prices, the repricing is ongoing and is easier for Banca Ifis, taking into consideration the relative short-term maturity of the customer loans basis. In the NPL segment, in the second half of the year, we restarted purchases after a first half year of slowing down due to prices that we consider too high. We have achieved our objectives in terms of volumes and prices, buying 3.6 billion of NPLs, and at the end of 2018, the gross book value of the NPL portfolio amounted to 15.8 billion euro. The ARC, the estimated remaining collection, reached 2.3 billion euro In 2018, thanks to the continuous improvement of the recovery structures, we collected, in terms of cash, 181 million euro, that is 41% more than in 2017. I mean, we are very happy for this result. At the end of 2018, customer deposits, so we are on the funding side, reached 4.7 billion euro, that is a reduction of 300 million euro Q on Q. It is worth noting that the decrease in funding was driven by an excess of liquidity compared to lending expectations. In mid-January 2019, in order to benefit from positive market momentum in lending to SMEs, Banca IFIS launched a new campaign on Rendimax. The Rendimax is our deposit account. The flexibility of Rendimax allows timely adjustments of deposit to funding requirements. In about 1 month, we recorded a net deposit inflow of about 140 million euro. Again, on the funding side, new bond issuance will be opportunistic and considered only if financial markets stabilize. I would like to highlight that we have a strong and stable funding position with resilient deposits split between medium and long terms, that is 1 billion bonds with medium-term maturity. We have 700 million euro of TLTRO with maturity in March 2021, with 423 million government bonds, Italian government bonds, and 377 leasing securitization rated A as collateral. And of course, we can easily refinance if TLTRO is not renewed. Common Equity Tier 1 is at 10.30% at La Scogliera Group level and 13.74% at Banca IFIS Group level, which compares to a capital requirement of 8.12% for 2019, and this is the Common Equity Tier 1 requirement. Let's move to page 7. This is with a focus on the capital structure. Let's focus on La Scogliera Group level. Compared to the September 2018, Common Equity Tier 1 is down about 37 bips as a result of a combination of second half net income, new NPLs acquired in the fourth quarter, a reduction of 45 basis points due to increase in risk weighted assets weight on stock following the European Banking Authority FAC and commercial business growth. With regard to La Scogliera, on 8th of February 2019, La Scogliera communicated to Banca IFIS that even after the next shareholders meeting scheduled in April 2018, it will continue to review potential transactions to achieve the inclusion of the excess capital into the consolidated capital requirement. This potential transaction will be reviewed, safeguarding the capitalization requirements of the bank, taking into account the interest of the group of family shareholders of La Scogliera, while providing full commitment to support the growth of the bank. It is worth to remind that the application of the CRD4 envisages that only 50.1% of the excess capital of Banca IFIS group level is included in the Common Equity Tier 1 of La Scogliera group level. Therefore, excess capital of 0.3 billion euro is not included in Common Equity Tier 1 at La Scogliera group level. In 2019, Common Equity Tier 1 at La Scogliera group level is expected to slightly increase from 2018 year-end level, despite tightening banking capital regulatory requirements. In the first quarter 2019, we expect two different impacts on Common Equity Tier 1 that may partially offset each other. The plus is 26 basis points due to the increase in capital conservation buffer from 1.9% to 2.5%. This applies only to La Scogliera level. The Common Equity Tier 1 increase is due to the excess capital capital in excess reduction. Then there is a minus 30 to 45 basis points in Common Equity Tier 1 due to the acquisition of FBS. The final results will depend on the purchase price allocation on FBS assets and liabilities. In the future quarters, we expect capital generation from many aspects. One is, of course, retained earnings. Another point is the progressive winding down of former interbank purchase price allocation, that is 229 million gross of taxes at the end of 2018. The indicative maturity is about 3 years. Another point that will generate capital is the progressive use of the deferred tax assets against future profits. Here we have 144 million of DTA at the end of December 18, currently fully deducted from Common Equity Tier 1. Another point is the ordinary winding down of former interbank customer loans, so that is at the end of 2018 is 600 million euro, about 600 million euro. Page 8 would like to highlight the impact of banking regulation on our capital requirements. You can see at page 8, in 2018, the Common Equity Tier 1 decreased by about 1.36% year on year, and this is and 0.82 due to tightening banking regulation. These factors included DTA and other phase-in, and also European Banking Authority FAC on NPLs, and the transformation of NPL segment into IFIS NPL company, a specific company. In page 9, we highlight our preliminary consideration on NPL's regulation. This is a quite sensitive point. We have already included in the fourth quarter 2018 Common Equity Tier 1 the impact of the European Banking Authority FAC for about 45 basis points. With regards to the calendar provisioning to be approved by the European Union Parliament, and the Parliament, and this applies to Pillar 1, for IFIS NPL, we estimate there might be a time lag that could be even 6 years, between 3 and 6 years, from the enforcement before it may impact Banca IFIS capital requirement. In the medium term, we expect new business opportunity for Banca IFIS as banks speed up recoveries, disposals, and servicing activities. With regards to the enterprise segment, we already apply strict credit policy with a bad loans coverage that is higher than 80%. In conclusion, we are monitoring banking regulation very carefully. In 2018, Common Equity Tier 1 at La Scogliera Group level is expected to slightly increase from 2018. So in 2018, we expect an increase in Common Equity Tier 1. We have the necessary capital to back our organic growth, and we have the commitment of our controlling shareholder to support the expansion of the bank. Then now we can move to the segment breakdown, and Martino, I think that the floor is yours for the segment. Please.
Good morning to everybody. Let's say that with regards to the segment breakdown that you can see at page 11, I think you can see that trade receivable counts for around 20% of net banking income, net of loan loss provision, leasing around 9%, corporate banking, that is the one that includes PPA, around 19%, then non-performing loans, about 51%. So going forward in 2019, we expect corporate banking, so reversal of PPA going down, and net banking income from trade receivable, leasing, and non-performing going up. It is worth noting that across all segments, we pursue diversification and client fragmentation, which provides us, a good shield against potential asset quality deterioration. Let's move to page 12. We can focus on the trade receivables, which counts more for the factoring business. You see the turnover up around 13% quarter on quarter, driven mainly by seasonality, new customer development, and positive market momentum. In this segment, we focus on SMEs. You can consider that around 80% of the customers have total revenues less than 10 million euros. Short-term lending. The average duration is about 3-4 months, so this allows us favorable for the ongoing repricing of new loans. And customer fragmentation. The average ticket is about 400,000 euros, well-diversified across all the major business segment. In page 13, you can see that the new leasing is up around 20% quarter on quarter, mainly driven by seasonality, especially in automotive and technology, and the final rush of investments to benefit for the trust depreciation, superammortamento in Italian, which is a fiscal incentive in the equipment industry. In the leasing, also with the strategy and our business model is focused on customer fragmentation in order to minimize asset quality risk. We have 70,000 customers, mainly SMEs. We are also at the forefront in terms of innovation. For example, we have a target campaign on hybrid and electric automotive. Third-party contracts for the remarketing of return leasing rentals provide clear in recovery estimates. Let's move on page 14, and the evolution of our NPL portfolio. In the quarter, benefits from positive market momentum, we bought around 1.7 billion gross NPL. And these non-performing loans were consistent with Banca IFIS business model: personal loans, current accounts, and SME loans. Small tickets, we bought around 190,000 small tickets, the vast majority of being unsecured. And also, we know the sellers because we have already done some transactions with the seller banks. Also, in Q4, we sold about 0.5 billion of non-performing with a capital gain of around 10 million. These positions were managed correctly, were already being worked out by Banca IFIS, and were sold to a few specialized businesses. In page 15, we provide our estimates of the ERC. And the ERC is estimated at 2.3 billion euros, of which 1.3 billion over the next 5 years. It's worth noting that this figure is not fully comparable with 1.8, but simply because we extended the amount. But the vast majority of the difference between the 2.3 billion to provide now with the 1.8, the vast majority, is due to the purchases that we have done in the second half of the year. We explain really the vast part of the difference. The time frame of the of recovery is consistent with Banca IFIS strategy to offer borrowers, in alternative to immediate cash repayment, long-term sustainable, voluntary or judicial recovery plans. Our ERC calculation is based on our internal model, built using internal historical data, that and the division of the borrower in homogeneous clusters. Clusters are grouped by borrower, by type of borrower, geography, age, amount due, employment status, and for each cluster, we model the expected cash collection, the time frame of recovery, and also the probability of decay. It is worth noting that this model has been built on, just to give you a number, on 0.7 billion cash collection that we have done between 2014 and 2018. And these 0.7 billion are split between actual cash recovery, which represent the vast majority, and proceeds from disposal. We review our ERC on a monthly basis, taking into account the collection and all the management actions that we do in order to improve our recovery system. Let's move to page 17. And just one figure here, the cash collection amounted in 2018 to 181 million euros, compared to a contribution in P&L of 238. Of course, if you include also disposals, the amounts are 203 million euros and 255 respectively. But the difference between cash collection and contribution to P&L is mainly due to non-performing loans managed by our legal recovery department. In fact, once the court injunctions, which we call precetto in Italian, have been issued, non-performing are value based on our internal recovery model. This leads to an increase in value, because when we have the project, of course, we have more probability that an order of assignment is being issued. And when we have the order of assignment, we have much stronger probability of recover. So that explains the difference between the cash collection and the contribution to P&L. Before passing the word to the CEO, I would like to stress a point on asset quality that you can see on page 21, where in this page, we just focus on the enterprise segment. So we exclude the IFIS non-performing, which for us is a core business. Here, the coverage of bad loans and UTP, net of POCI, came in at 82% and 44% respectively. And this is notwithstanding, we had 240 million euros write-offs in 2018, and with the IFRS first time adoption. This in the non-performing exposures that arose from the acquisition of Interbanca, in accordance with IFRS 9, are qualified as POCI, so a purchase or originated credit impairment, and are booked net of provision. That's why you see 67 million euros net, simply because they don't include provision. I leave the word to Giovanni for the conclusions.
Thank you, Martino. Please go to page 24. Well, we updated our 2018 estimates to take into account the evolution of the current macroeconomic scenario. Well, BTP, the spread level between BTP and Bund in the second half of 2018, of course. The GDP growth estimate, then the level of industrial production and the household consumption indicators, expected evolution of interest rates, and furthermore, of course, our 2018 results. Our business priorities will be to streamline recovery strategy, I mean, with reference, of course, of the NPLs, focus on NPLs portfolio purchase to expand NPLs servicing businesses, a focus on SMEs lending, mainly through factoring and leasing, and an ordinary winding down of former Interbanca long-term loans. In 2019, we expect a single-digit increase in net banking income versus 2018 year-end, and net income in the range of 140-160 million euro, and this despite 50% lower contribution of the reversal from the PPA that has been 92 million in 2018, and we expect this figure more or less to halve. Our estimates include a slowdown in GDP growth and some synergies from the integration of IFIS NPL and SBS. In terms of asset quality for the enterprise segment, we have prudent assumptions to reflect some slowdown in the macro environment, but we do not expect a severe recession. We do not expect a severe recession. In the NPL segment, the result will depend on our ability to integrate SBS and Banca IFIS, streamlining the collection strategies, simplifying the management of NPL, leveraging on digital implementation and process innovation. Banca IFIS has through IFIS NPL 15 years of experience in unsecured retail loans, has the best proprietary database and performance monitoring tools in Italy, an internal call center, a consolidated network of home collectors and of internal and external lawyers. SBS has over 20 years of experience in secured and unsecured corporate and medium-high tickets. We can act as principal and as third-party servicer in the Italian market. We have already started the integration of SBS into Banca IFIS, and we are working at full speed today. Thanks. We know how we can open to the Q&A section. Please, operator.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions. The first one is on net interest income. If you can, could break down the contribution from the capital gain on NPE disposal and let's say the one-off in the quarter. The second question is on capital. I understand there are some action that you could undertake in 2019 to reduce the gap between the holding company and the Banca IFIS. If you can elaborate a little bit on the statement you made in the presentation that you are expecting a slight increase of the Common Equity Tier 1 in 2019 at Scogliera level. After this move, or just on, let's say, core capital generation from business? Because if I remember properly, you were expected to boost Common Equity Tier 1 by almost 400 basis points, take into account, for example, a reverse merger of the holding company into Banca IFIS. The third question is on cost of risk, still a little bit high in the fourth quarter. To me, seems to be a little bit high, or maybe there is some seasonality. If you can give us a guidance for 2019, and finally on PPA contribution in 2019, you are expecting 50% reduction compared to 92 million euro booked in 2018. I was wondering why such a low level compared to the total amount that is in excess of 200 million euro. Thank you.
Tom. Thank you, Christian. The first is regarding the net interest income. We have capital gain on non-performing. Indeed, we have 10 million euros capital gain from the disposal of the 500 million gross book value. The net interest income in the non-performing unit benefits from the fact that since the beginning of the year, we made this slight change where before we used to value until the order of assignments, okay? Now, after the issuance of the precetto, we tend to value increasing using our internal model, okay? So in this case, the overall expectation of cash recovery does not change much, but it changed when we include it in the P&L, okay? In terms of CET1, probably, you know, we were not so clear in the presentation, we apologize. The fact that when we look at the capital at La Scogliera consolidated level of the banking level, We gave a guidance, we gave simply a guidance on La Scogliera consolidated level, okay? And at La Scogliera consolidated level, just to be clear, the 10.3%, we expect some, let's say, some improvements from that level. Of course, this will translate, if you look at the banking level, the bank consolidation level, you will have another impact over that. But this does not mean that, we wanted just to provide a guidance on one of the two CET1, and we look at the CET1 at the, let's say, regulatory level, La Scogliera consolidated level, okay?
Sorry, just to be clear, you are not embedding any corporate event on this target, so just core capital generation?
Yes, correct.
You are not assuming a reverse merger or whatever?
Let's say that in terms of the guidance, sorry, I leave funny.
Christian, the evaluation we did when we present today are without any extraordinary impact that could allow to grow from the regulatory deconsolidation of La Scogliera. This is only business as usual.
Now it's clear.
Is it clear?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And in terms of loan loss provision guidance, let's say you're right. Let's say we are prudent on 2019 in terms of let's say asset quality. Of course, we're prudent in terms of loan loss provisions. We don't embed let's say a severe recession, a significant recession, or let's say the one-offs that we have taken in 2018, but of course we can say that we're based on relatively prudent assumptions on the enterprise. Okay, we don't want to provide a full guidance for the loan loss provision in 2019, but just to stress that we reflected, let's say, a slowdown in the macro environment, but not, the one-offs that we took in 2018, just to be clear.
So no top-up compared to the previous provision done on the construction sector?
Maybe, yes, for sure. Let's say the 2018 was jeopardized. Our 2018 loan loss provisions were jeopardized by, let's say, an entire sector which went into crisis. We have sector diversification. We have, let's say, client diversification. And unless another very large sector, another entire large sector goes into crisis, the cost of risk should improve. Okay.
Yeah, but I was referring just on fourth quarter results. So the cost of risk was taken into constant top up on construction sector or just a conservative approach for GDP slowdown.
No, okay. It was a mix between a conservative approach on a few positions, and then for again the other, the provisions that we took in around the construction companies. Okay. This is the fact. Also Q4. Again, was impacted by the construction sector. Okay. Also, we wanted to be prudent in that.
The next question is from Ramil Koria of SEB. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two questions, if I may. So, first off, given the new regulation of risk weights, shouldn't your propensity to invest in secured assets increase on the back of that? And then secondly, in terms of the price that you announced on average for the unsecured assets that you acquired throughout 2018 being 7%, given the diverging price pressure from H1 18 to H2 18, could you please elaborate a bit on the difference in terms of percentage of face value, in terms of pricing, of course, for H1 versus H2? Thank you.
Thank you, Giovanni Bossi. As regards the secured market, I do really think that even if prices are could be lower in the next quarters, well, I do think that the capital absorption and liquidity absorption in the secure market is a very powerful disincentive for bank AIFs to put the money at risk in this field. One thing is to work as a servicer, and you know, the acquisition of FBS for us is a powerful engine of development in the servicing field. Another story is to act as an investor. I think that the secured field, the secured market, is the best environment for a non-regulated entity. There are spaces also for a regulated entity as a bank, but I think that our approach is more in favor of the unsecured, where prices and liquidity are lower. You asked me something about prices, to clarify some aspects on prices. We decided to disclose some information on prices. Tommy, we can see some information on our Market Watch, NPL Market Watch, it is on our website, but I think that this is the maximum level of disclosure we can give to the market. If you give more information, I think that it is not a good thing for us to disclose more as regards to prices. Please consider that any portfolio has a different story. Any portfolio that you can buy there are hundreds of reasons why a portfolio could have a higher or lower price. So it is not so easy to elaborate a statistical approach on this field. What I can say is that we are observing a reduction in pricing due, probably the most part of this reduction probably is an effect of the interest rates and Italian risk, but there are other effects that have to be taken into consideration. Probably some investors that were really interested in the financial aspect, in the financial activity, and entered into the market in 2014, 15, 16, 17, attracted by the lower, by the opportunity to make money. Well, part of these investors are not more present in, no more active present. I think that part of these investors will leave the market. So, this is all what I can say in this moment about prices. Please.
Is it possible to elaborate a bit on why these investors are leaving the market, or is that maybe too much?
The Listen, this is a question I received many times. The point is that a financial player, a financial investor, has the need, to obtain the higher IRR possible from the investment. And part of these investors, they have the opportunity to move in many fields, in many asset classes, and in many countries. And so they could stay in Italy till there is a good. They find good opportunity in this market. When in this market, for some reason, they think that the opportunity are not more present, they move. In this moment, the evaluation we are doing is that are in the direction of a strong need for management of portfolio. So the most important point 5 years ago, 3 years ago, was to have the appetite for the risk in the NPLs. Today, the most important, and the money to satisfy this appetite. Today, it is crucial to manage the portfolio properly, in a sound way, recovering the most. Having good capability to manage the portfolios. Well, today it is not a matter of money you have to put on the table. Today, the crucial point is to have the structure, in my view, is to have the structure and the capability, the knowledge to recover the maximum amount of money. Either you are strongly motivated in building a structure in the country, or if you are a pure investor, a pure financial investor, you'd better to leave. This is my evaluation.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Simonetta Chiriotti of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. A few questions from my side. The first one is on your guidance for 2019 regulatory core tier 1. If you could tell us which are the assumptions in terms of NPL purchased during the year, and also which has been the impact of the higher risk weighting in terms of higher RWA in euro million. So how much the increase in the risk weighting in NPL cost you in terms of higher RWA in the NPL segment. A second question is on the communication from La Scogliera. In this communication, it is mentioned that the capitalization requirement of the bank will be taken into account together with the interests of the families who have investments in La Scogliera. So if you could help us to understand this statement, does it mean that they could consider different types of deals and that this deal can have different impacts on Banca IFIS regulatory capital? I mean, the spread between regulatory capital and the capital at the banking group level will be recovered in full, or there is the possibility that according to the deal that will be done, there is a different impact. Thank you.
Simonetta, Giovanni. No, I answer only on the last point. To me, it seems that the solution is white, black, or X on, X off. So either we have a full regulatory deconsolidation or not. The full deconsolidation means at the actual level something like 3.5% of 3.4% of Common Equity Tier 1 recovery. If not, we stay as we are communicating now. So there is no other solution. White or black, I could say, in terms of regulatory capital. But Martino, go on with the other question, please.
Well, regard the non-performing assumptions for the next year. Let's say that we have always, in the past years, we have acquired between 3 and 5 billion euros gross book value non-performing. We expect to continue around this level, so between 3 and 5, depending on the year, on the portfolio, and the prices. Regarding the impact in risk-weighted assets, the risk-weighted assets of the non-performing unit are 1,584 million, okay, and the impact starting from the stock as of the 31st December 2018, the impact of the EBA FAQ was 45 bips in terms of CET1. So the impact of the EBA FAQ, which is in our number, was 45 bips on the stock as of 31st December 2018.
Thank you.
The next question is from Manuela Meroni of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. My first question is on FBS. The acquisition has been completed at the beginning of this year, so I'm wondering if you can share with us what you expect in terms of synergies or integration cost in 2019 and 2020. The second question is on cost. In the press release, you mentioned 25 million of cost related to associated to NPLs previously recognized at cost and now classified as at amortized cost. I'm wondering if a part of this cost can be considered as a one-off, and more in general, I'm wondering if there are some one-off in your cost base in 2018. Another question is on the business plan. In the last conference call, you have mentioned that you were preparing a new business plan. I'm wondering if you are still expecting to present a business plan in 2019 and when it may occur.
Thank you, Giovanni, again. Only for the last question again. I think that we need some time because, of course, we need to see some stabilization on the market for the next strategic plan. So it is true that we told that we have in mind to prepare the strategic plan in this period, but at the same time, you can easily understand that without visibility on the on what will happen on the market, it is difficult to elaborate more. So we will inform the market when we will be able to deliver the new strategic plan to the market. So far, we prefer to maintain a prudent... Martino.
Okay. Let's say that regarding the question on FBS, you can see on page 18 of the presentation, let's say, what we expect to do with FBS. The first is that Banca IFIS is focused on unsecured retail loans, small ticket. We have, let's say, an internal call center, a consolidated network of home collectors, internal and external lawyers, in order to proceed with collections. FBS is more focused on secured and corporate unsecured. Okay, so secure and unsecured corporate, medium high size tickets, as over 20 years of experience. Let's say that they're complementary. They both work in the non-performing loan market, but from complementary tickets, angle, and strategy. We have part of these synergies, let's say of this collection synergies, in, let's say, our 2019 guidance, okay? But just part of that. Then, of course, it will depend how quick we are, as the CEO was saying, in terms of applying the synergy, implement the synergies. In terms of cost, we don't give, let's say, cost of the integration or, let's say, not so material. Of course, there is a cost, but as you highlighted in the presentation, is more on the capital impact from this acquisition, which, you know, you can have the final impact once we have completed the PPA. And for this, let's say, we expect a capital impact between 30 and 45, between 30 and 45 basis points. Okay. In terms of cost, let's say the 26 million euros.
Action for sure, as we included in our P&L the additional revenues from the legal, let's say, from the legal actions that we have, from the ongoing legal actions, as long as we proceed, let's say, when we arrive the ultimate check, we include some, net banking income, some income. When we arrive at the order of assignments, we make another step in increasing net income net banking income, because of course our probability of recovery increases. As of course we post these additional revenues, we have to include also the cost. So the 27 million costs that you see are not one-off, but a recurrent cost and a function of the revenues that we posted, that we booked in our P&L in 2018. Because you cannot put only the revenues, but you have to include also the cost. Okay.
The next question is from Andrea Lisi of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, thank you for the presentation. I want to ask you just one couple of questions. The first one is on the funding side. You have said that your 2019 funding plan envisages a new campaign on Rendimax, and you also have explained your new initiatives. Can you tell us which is the impact in terms of cost of funding, if it is higher cost of funding, and another question relatively to what stated by the CEO in terms of the players that are leaving the market, if Banca Ifis is potentially interested, if there are the conditions and the right prices to act as a consolidator when this subject will sell their platform or their structure. Thank you.
I will just reply to Randy Max, and then I leave the CEO to reply on more strategic questions. Let's say that on Rendimax, it's a normal campaign in terms of funding. We expect to do that, and it was in let's say it was expected. We launched at the beginning of January. Up to the rates are public. Of course, we tend to offer attractive rate for medium. Long-term maturities, because we want to simply lengthen our deposit base, which, by the way, seems to be quite sticky. And up to now, the impact in terms of cost of funding is just a few bits. And I remember, just to remind, since the beginning of January, we have collected €140 million of net inflow. I leave the CEO to the other question.
Thank you, Martino. You asked if I understood properly, you asked if we could act as a consolidator in the NPL field. If I understood properly your question. Well, Banca Ifis has the intention to be the a very prominent player in the market. We think that we have all the knowledge, all the capability, all the structure, all the funds also to intervene in the market as a player of the first level player, as we are unsecured field and as FBS is in the servicing early state and corporate field. But I know that I am not answering to you. The answer is that there are opportunities on the market, and we will see time after time if the opportunities will create value for our company, our companies, our group, our bank, and if so, we will take into consideration any opportunity, providing that dimension alone is not the driver of our action. The most important driver for us is the knowledge, the capability to grant to our customers, to our clients, the best service possible together to the awareness that we have that we are dealing with a huge amount of bad debtor, Italian bad debtor, and this is a sensitive part of our of the economy. So, allow me to say again, dimension is has been important in the past. Today we have the we have the most important database in Italy in the unsecured field, but we carry the social responsibility to act properly in respect of all these people, all these debtors. So dimension is important. Efficiency and sustainability are more important.
Thank you very much.
They emailed me that one of my answers was not so clear because of the background noise. So I would like to repeat about the costs, okay, that we discussed before, the €25 million costs. I would like to stress that, and I repeat that, of course, when we reached the precetto, which is one phase of the legal action, and when we reached the order of assignments, we booked incomes, okay? And in this case, we have around €67 million in the whole 2018. On the other hand, we book also the costs. So the €25-26 million that we booked are related to the legal actions. As long as we book the revenues, the incomes on the proceeds of these legal actions, we book also the costs. So in the coming years, when this order of assignments will start to produce cash in, we will have already sustained all the legal costs related to these tickets. So apologize if there was the background noise and the answer before was not clear. Let's move on. Apologize.
The next question is from Luigi Tramontana of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. First of all, many, many thanks for the ample and detailed presentation, which represents a significant improvement compared to the past. Then, thanks for taking my questions. Just three questions left. The first one is on FBS, given that you bought the company 1 month ago. Can you share with us, please, total revenues, total costs, and net profit of FBS in 2018 in order to include it in our estimates? Second one is on the operating costs. Notwithstanding, so excluding this acquisition, what are your expectations in terms of cost inflation for this year? And finally, on the cost of credit risk in the enterprise segment, is it fair to assume a normalized cost of risk of 80 bps? Many, many thanks.
Ben, let's say that regarding the cost of risk, normalized 80 bps, let's say, we don't want to provide a full guidance, then it depends how you calculate these 80 bps, by the way, on the full credits, on the enterprise and only, et cetera. I think that, as we stated before, you can take this cost of risk, which, let's say, this loan loss provisions, which were impacted by the 62 million euros one-off, assuming that probably we are, let's say, we don't have such an issue going forward, but then we want to be prudent on the other side on, let's say, the remaining enterprise segment, the lending. As we state in our guidance, we try to be prudent on that. Then, of course, we don't want to provide, let's say, a full cost of risk guidance for 2019. Okay. Regarding FBS.
Listen, regarding FBS, I think it is well. We don't provide any further information about FBS for the moment. I think that we will see something more in the strategic plan, but not today. Today it is allow us to work on the integration, then you will see together with the market the information that you have in mind. Consider that all the impact, broadly speaking, all the impact of the cost of FBS is not something that changes the bank of the group in a dramatic way anyway. But so far, I prefer to maintain a level of prudence in this matter. I think, operator, if we are slightly late, there is other question.
There is a follow-up question, if you want to answer, to Simonetta Chiriotti of Mediobanca.
The last one, please, Simonetta.
Yes, very quick one. You mentioned the fact that there has been the transformation of the NPL segment into IFIS NPL and NPL PLC. Are the economics of this company at this point available, or we have to wait for the next quarters?
You have to wait the distribution to the market of the balance sheet of IFIS NPL. And this will happen in some months, March probably.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So, thank you to everybody. And we will have other opportunity to meet in the conference call. I don't know if we plan to have a conference call after the probably at the first quarter.
Yes, and then for sure we are going to meet. If you want to attend, we have a roadshow. We are in London on 17 and 18, and we attend UBS conference on the 13. So thanks for your attendance.
Thank you.